Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. To show you how God works in mysterious ways sometimes that we don't understand. If you see, the title of the sermon this morning is Courageous Christian Walk. And this week we're having dinner theater, and the movie we're going to watch is what?
Courageous.
Now, how did that come about? Other than God works in mysterious ways to bring things together. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Many of you have heard this verse. Many of you know this verse. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And as we think about this verse this morning, what does it mean to be courageous? It speaks not necessarily about being physical strength, but strength of the heart. In some of the movies, and one of the movies I saw, it was The Replacement, and they talked about the pros going on strike, and they brought in all of these people to play ball, and they said the one thing that they had that the others didn't have was heart, right? They had heart. They played with their heart. The others were playing more for the money. And as I thought about that, I thought about this too. We worship God from what? The heart. We sing praises. We sang the songs a while ago, and they came from the mouth, didn't they? But did they really just come from the mouth, or did they come from the heart? That's what we need to think about today, is everything that we do is worship. When we think about worship, we think about 8:30 in this church and 11 o'clock, right? But when it's worship, it's every day. Every day, 24 hours a day, we should be worshiping God. And as we think about that, how do we do that? It's the strength of the heart. It speaks to an individual who is solid and not easily distracted from doing what is right. In basketball, when I played, yeah, they did a whole lot of yelling. Now they get all of these psychedelic wheels to go around. And so when you're shooting the foul shot, they're trying to do what? Distract you. Isn't that exactly what Satan's trying to do with us as Christians? He's trying to distract us, isn't he? And if he can distract us from doing God's will, then he has succeeded. So when we are courageous, we need to have education. That was what I got my degree in. It was a religious education. My theme is Ephesians 4:11, to train and to educate, to share. My goal for the teenagers and the children and even for our adults is to what? To lay a solid foundation. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Laying a foundation that cannot be rocked, that cannot be moved. Over a period of time, you'll see an old house. Foundation was not laid very well in the earlier days, even before me, before the Dark Ages even. They used to just build them and have little blocks, columns. And they had so many of them spaced out all the way around the house. And then maybe a couple of them underneath the house in the middle. And over a period of time, you could walk in those homes and guess what? The flooring had sunk because there was no foundation there to support it. And this is what it is with Christian walk today. We need a foundation to support so that we are not distracted. Believers who walk courageously in Christ are not shaken by the world of this world. The winds cannot move us. We are not to shift, he said, from the left or to the right to it. And yet we are always talking about what? The right wing, the left wing, the moderates, the conservatives. Aren't we? And we all ought to be where? Right together, walking courageously with God and not striving from one way or the other. They're like trees planted, as the psalmist said, they're like trees planted by the rivers of water. They're strong. They get the nourishment they need, and they're well grounded with roots that go deep. Have you ever tried to pull a tree up? An oak tree, after it's grown for years and years and years? You don't ever get all the roots out. I don't care how big you dig, you cannot get it out without digging a whole yard up, can you? It goes so deep and so wide. They just spread everywhere. And so this morning as we look at this, I want us to think about this. We want to see, first of all, the foundation for a courageous Christian walk. The foundation. As we think about it, that is our relationship to God. He is the one that puts the concrete, the rebar, and all that together to make it what? To be strong. To be strong. I spent days after days after days of tying steel together. And once we tied it together, in just a few minutes, it was covered up in concrete. There are times when we've had to bust that concrete up, and you did not get big chunks of it up, because the rebar, what, held it together. And in order to do that, we had to bust it up in small chunks. And so as we look at this, we see that Christ is our relationship. Christ is our foundation. And that is where we needed encouragement. We need the encouragement of our families. We need the encouragement of our church. And this may be elementary to us as we're talking about the Christian walk. But we need to go back and look at it from time to time, don't we? It's so simple. Salvation is so simple. It's easy, isn't it? In fact, we share the plan of salvation as easy as ABC, right? But sometimes we forget how easy it is. And we, as human beings, have a tendency to do what? Make it difficult. We try to make living for Christ very difficult. I'm sure there's some here this morning that could testify to the fact that that relationship with God is not where it should be. I used to think that just because I was baptized, I was a Christian, because that was all ran together. But it's not, is it? There's only one way to get to the Father, and that is through the Son, not through baptism, not through church membership, but it is through the Son, through Jesus Christ. And many may think that simply because Grandma went to church and Grandma was a Christian, that I am too. Mom and Dad's a Christian, I am too. But that's not the case, is it? There's only one way to get to Christ. We also see our relationship to the Word. The Bible is the Word. How many of us really spend as much time in the Word as we do reading novels? Oops. I see so many people with books, and they'll stop somewhere, and the first thing they do is what? Pull them out and start reading them. And most of them are what? Novels. Fiction. Some people that are history buffs, maybe history books. But how many people have pulled a Bible out and read it? You don't see that often, do you? Doctor's office? How many sit in a doctor's office see people reading? Ever see anybody read a Bible in a doctor's office? If they get all the magazines up, then somebody may want something bad enough. They may pick up that Bible, huh? But not likely. We need to read God's Word. It serves as a believer's map, a compass, a GPS. Now, we have GPSs for everything. We've got them in our phones now. You can put them in your cars. In fact, cars are even being built with them built in. And all you've got to do is punch in where you're at and where you want to go. And it's going to tell you how to get there, isn't it? And if you deviate, what does it do? It lets you know. This Bible is our GPS. It guides us. It directs us, doesn't it? Just as this scripture this morning from Joshua says, for what? Be strong and courageous. Follow God. Not be ashamed. The Bible is a light. It illuminates. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you try to walk around in the dark all the time? Never use a flashlight. When we think about storms and the possibility of our lights going off, what's the first thing we want to do? Check, make sure we have flashlights, batteries in them, candles, matches or something to light them, right? Why do we want all of that? So we can see. Because we don't like to sit in darkness, do we? Folks, this is what the scripture just said. The word is a light. It is a guide to us. It follows, and that's where we should be. You noticed bugs are attracted to light. In fact, we invented a little thing called a blue light. And they hang it outside, don't we? With little screens around it. Right? Next thing you know, here comes a little bug. And what does it do? right? It attracts, and they cannot help themselves from going to that light, even if it means death. Is that the way we are with God? We're going to follow His light no matter what, even if it means death. Is that how committed we are? Is that how courageous we are? It is a light. It is something that we use to guide. We also see a relationship with others. Let me say that we need to emphasize, we need one another's encouragement. We need it. We need it. Because we're not going to get it in most other places, are we? And church should be the one place that we should get it. Our fellowship should be right here together, where we are here together, encouraging one another to sing, to pray, to read scriptures, to preach, to teach. That's what we're here, to encourage one another. Encouragement not only to continue to live, but to serve God in the right way. We should, in fact, encourage one another to the point that we are excited. We can't wait to get back. In the last church I was in, they wanted to start a children's church at the same time as the 11 o'clock service. And the lady was a good friend of mine, Karen. And I told Karen, I said, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to teach the Bible. I said, most of these kids don't even know the stories in the Bible. We need to teach those stories. But we need to teach it in a way that it was so exciting that they wanted to come back the next week to hear another story. That's what we need, folks. We need that kind of excitement in Jesus Christ. We need to be so excited that when we go out into this world, to school, our jobs, in our communities, in our grocery store, no matter what, we need to be excited about the name of Jesus Christ. And others need to see it. Now, fraternities and sororities, when you join those, you can always tell someone that's on there because they will have a jacket or shirt that has their logos on it, don't it? You can tell people that support Virginia Tech because they have what? Jackets, shirts, hats, shoes, socks, rings, and everything else you can think of that says, I support Virginia Tech, right? Folks, the only thing we need for Jesus Christ is our enthusiasm. We don't need to wear a lapel cross. We don't need a necklace. We don't need bracelets, rings. We don't need hats that say, I love Jesus. In fact, most times I wish people wouldn't do it because we see they're not loving Jesus, don't we? They're ugly to some people. Or they'll put on a bumper sticker, you know, I love Jesus on their car, and they do road rage. That really supports Jesus, doesn't it? But this is what we need. We need to let others see Jesus illuminating through us. That light that we saw, they need to see in us, in this world, not just on Sunday mornings at this church. Every day of our lives, people should see that. And we need to encourage one another to bring that in together. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Wouldn't it be great that you were afraid to miss because you would miss something exciting? Some of us are sports fans, some of us others, and we will not miss anything. We're going to watch that race. We're going to watch that game. We're going to do it, and we're committed to it. We'll work our schedule around it. But how about if we worked our schedule around God and served Him? The next thing we see is the facilitation of the courageous Christian walk. Facilitate means to make something better. It's like a parent putting a Band-Aid on a child's hurt. How many of you have had a Band-Aid put on there that you really didn't need, but mom put it on there to make you feel better? Every one of us have experienced that, haven't we? Get a little splinter in your hand, and it's, fortunately you can pull it right out, but you need a Band-Aid, and that Band-Aid made it feel so much better, didn't it? That's what facilitate means. That's what we're supposed to do, is to make one another feel better, to encourage one another. But also, it's two simple words, trust and obey. Trust. When the kids started riding bicycles with the training wheels, it was fine. But when you take them training wheels off, what do we tell them? Trust me, right? Trust me. And they trust you until what? You fall. But then you have to give them that encouragement to do what? Trust me. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is what God is saying. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. I know my plan is right. Are you willing to work with my plan? Trust me and then obey. When we have the proper foundation, we must begin to build upon it. And we must begin to work with it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." He didn't say it'd make it easy. He said He would make it straight. Joshua 23, 6 says this, which is almost like the first verse we just read. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Be strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law." Nike says this, just do it. Just do it. When we're praying, when we're talking to God, do we say, "But Lord, listen here, wait a minute. Let me get a word in here. Let me tell you what I think I can do. After all, I ought to know more myself what I can do than anybody else can do, right? But God even knows more than I know of what I can and can't do." And that is why He promised the disciples in the end of Matthew not only to go and to share the gospel, He says, "And lo, I am with you always." Always. And then He also says what? "I will give you the power." Didn't He? So you see, we have the victory, but we need to learn to trust and to obey it and to just do it. It pleases God when we do it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Stay fit. Stay fit in the Word, spiritually. It's important to stay physically fit, isn't it? Those that train, those that are the athletes, are always working out. They're doing the things they need. They eat, they rest, and they exercise, don't they? To prepare for that race. But shouldn't we also do the same thing spiritually? It's equally important that eat the right food means what? Studying God's Word. Hungry for God's Word. It means that we must be resting, leaning or learning to rest or rely upon God. Our youth group used to use FROG, fully rely on God. That's our rest, isn't it? To trust in Him. And He said, "I will give you rest." And then in the New Testament, we see the word exercise means to train, as for games. It means to do something over and over and over and over again. In weightlifting, it's called reps. Repetitive. Repeated over and over and over and over until you get it right. My dad used to do the same thing with me when I was learning to bat at baseball. I would have to sit there and swing time after time after time. He'd get me in my stance and say, "Now swing. Get in your stance. Swing. Get in your stance and swing." I finally got tired of that. I said, "Well, when are you going to throw the ball?" I didn't want to sit there and practice it. I wanted to do it. But that's what we need, is we need to repeat it over and over and over. But time that we do it, it may not look like it's doing anything. If you start exercising today and you do your reps like this, you're not going to have any muscles there, are you? It takes time, doesn't it? But over a period of time, your muscles are toned and they're doing it. Same thing with God's Word. The more we read it, the more we study it, the more we do it over and over and over again, the stronger we will become in His words, just like the weightlifters become strong. So that's what we need to do, is to work on it. But also we need to see the future of the courageous Christian walk. Our ultimate destination is heaven, isn't it? In the hymn books it says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But you know, I think that theology is wrong. I think the rejoicing can be right now, can't it? We don't have to wait to get to heaven to rejoice. We can be rejoicing right now. But the real rejoicing will be that day. That will be the rejoicing. But till then, we can rejoice. Certainly we want to go to heaven. And certainly we know that the only way is through Jesus. But we also see that the scriptures refer to the judgment seat of Christ. And we will not be judged on getting in or getting out of heaven, making it or not making it. You've heard people say, well, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ, and, you know, if I get in by the skin of my teeth, that'll be fine. Yeah. But it's going to be a whole lot more. There's that judgment seat. Judgment seat meaning what? We will be judged. We will set before Christ on the day of judgment. He will interrogate us. He will ask questions. He will remind us of unconfessed sins, won't he? Now, God has told us that if we will confess our sins, he would do what? Wipe them out. On the day of judgment, those sins will never be brought up. But if you don't confess those sins, if they're unconfessed sins, they will be brought up. So how important is prayer for us? To confess each and every day our sins. And we must see that we will come, and there is a matter of rewards. Now, Jacqueline, we have said that when we take care of parents and stuff, we will get an extra reward in our crown. We will get rewards. What it will be, how it's based on, I have no idea. God knows. And that's the one that will judge us. He will be the one. We don't know the criteria other than what the scriptures tell us. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To serve him, to confess, to trust, and to obey. If we do those things, we've got a full plate, don't we? That's a lot. To trust and obey him each and every day. Many of you may remember in 1996, the American gymnast Carrie Strug won the gold medal in her final vault attempt while suffering a sprained ankle. But about 20 years earlier, that in 1976, in the Montreal Summer Olympics, Sun Futamoto competed in the team gymnastic competition in Japan. In the quest for the gold medal, Fujimoto suffered a broken right knee on the floor exercises. But the injury did not stop him. With his right leg in a cast, he competed the next week in his strongest event, the rings. His routine was excellent, but he astonished everyone by squarely dismounting with a triple somersault twist on a broken knee. When asked concerning his feet, he said, "Yes, the pain shot through me like a knife. It brought tears to my eyes, but now I have the gold medal and the pain is gone." To have a courageous Christian walk may not be easy, but one day it will be worth it all. One day it will be worth it all. When will that day come? We don't know. But we do know this. It's all about choices. God has given us free will. We can choose as we will. No one can make us change anything in our lives. We can do it. It can be strongly suggested, but we cannot do it. We get to choose whether we want to have a Christian walk, a courageous or a dull walk. The Lord told the church in Revelations, Laodicea, he says, "I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth." He says, I don't want a lukewarm Christian. I'd rather for you to be ice cold than lukewarm. I'd rather for you to do nothing at all than to do partial. I would rather have everybody hot, on fire, and ready to serve God. It's your Christian walk this morning. It's your courageous walk this morning. It's a matter of choice. How much do I want to trust God? How much do I want to obey him? How much do I want others to know that I'm a Christian? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this passage of scripture that we looked at. And we pray that you will help us to be strong and courageous this morning. Help us to be careful to keep the laws that you've given us that we will not turn from the right or the left, that we may be successful wherever we go for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that others will see you in us and help us to be strong to with each other, to encourage one another, to help one another build up. Thank you for this church, and help us to continue to be a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, that we may study your word, that we may chew upon it and meditate upon it day and night, Father, and that it will guide us in the right direction. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, the hymn of invitation, the group is going to come in just a second and sing. But as they do, this is an invitation that we invite people to make decisions in their lives. We invite you to accept Jesus Christ. If you want to do that this morning, we encourage you to slip out and come to the front, and I'll be here to pray that prayer. We invite you to come here and to bow down and bring those sins or whatever baggage you have or something that you just need to give to Jesus, or if you just need to seek direction from Him, we invite you to slip out and come to the front. Bow down here and do that. We invite you to slip out and come and to join this church and be a part of this fellowship. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, you come as the Lord leads. Let us be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come thirsty, but we can leave filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that you've given us to guide us, to direct us, to set us on our path. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that is the light that we follow. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that comforts us and strengthens us, that gives us what we need each day. And then we finally thank you for never, ever leaving us, always being there forever. Now go with us. Help us this week to be strong and courageous, and help us to claim the victory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.